So we're going to start tonight in just dealing with, once again, the church, ecclesia, body of Christ. Welcome to all the internet listeners. Welcome to the satellite listeners all over the place. And for those of you that download the archives later on, hey, God bless you. Let's believe, God, that this could be a supernatural hour in which there are those that could be engaged by Christ, by his presence and power. And we would ask Jesus, we'd ask the Lord to stretch out his hand to heal, to save, to deliver. This is Shadow of the Darkness broadcast live on a, Wednesday night, May the 4th. I had to look up real quick to see we've been in the middle of so many things lately, and I just want you to know tonight that we're glad to be here. We're glad to be here for a number of reasons. We're possibly on our way out of this house because of the flood, the damage. I'm still going into 10 weeks. Our research center has been out, and we're on different computers and different places, and we are dealing with black toxic mold and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to be doing some moves, and we'll tell you about that down the road. Want to welcome you again. ShadowTheDarkness.net on the web. If you're brand new to the program tonight, welcome. Glad you're here. We had, for whatever reason, one of the computers not working, so we're on a different one tonight. The Shatter Live broadcast goes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Appreciate those of you that have been sending in the emails and the Facebook requests. And my difficulty is always getting back to everybody. We were able to do some of that today. We'll continue to do that in a broad way tomorrow. Things have closed down here the last few days. We've had a funeral Sunday, a funeral that occurred yesterday, also that I spoke at, then also Monday night. So we are talking to my little brother. He's not so little, but he was there with my mother down in another state. She had some surgery today on her knee. And so I'm going to go down to Nashville again here soon to see how things are down there. How's things your way today? I don't know about you, but we've been having like 40 days and 40 nights of rain. In the midst of all of it, pretty strange stuff with Bin Laden gone. I don't even know how to let you know about all of the different input from so many variety of areas, all the way to where he's actually dead, he wasn't dead, he's been on ice for a while, and or that he's really the Antichrist and that he's going to rise out of the sea. So let's just wait and see, and let's stick with some things tonight that are going to be very clear and definite. One of the reasons in this series we're doing on, and we're calling it the emerging or emergent church, or that that element out there that is saying we need transformation in the church, we need a change, we need everything to be different. Well, methods are many, principles are few. Methods always change, but principles never do. So let me ask you, what's better? What if you go to a big building church where it's a great big ceilings and massive stained glass windows, and the pulpit is up high and the pews are hard, and that's where you're used to going? And let me ask you something. By going there, just because of the accoutrements and the ambiance, some people can feel very religious. If there are pictures of Jesus and icons and statues and everything else around. So let's ask the question then, in the thrust to get rid of all of that and just turn church into a bunch of couches in a circular fashion, sit on the floor on a rug, wear tie-dye shirt, have a lot of candles, have, once again, if we're talking about style, if we're talking about buildings, if we're talking about things that really are not biblical per se, ecclesia is never a building. Church is never a building. The body of Christ, the soma Christu, that is never a building. And it's not a coffee shop, and it's not a basement in a house. Though all of those things can be used, a barn, catacombs, underground building, deep out in the woods, in countries where they have to kind of hide in order to gather together and meet. So this week, as we're talking about the end of days and all that's going on and all of the dismantling and destabilization and who's getting the gas money, and well, there's this massive ramping up on the dark side. It has been prophesied that there'd be a lot of spiritual deception, confusion, counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles, counterfeit preachers, teachers, apostles, doctrines. So it's very important that we can really know where we stand. And I want you to know that there's really a confidence, there's really a clarity that we can have. As clear as Jesus made it, and I want to say this, maybe as simple as he made it. So tonight, the 10 signs of the body of Christ, or the 10 signs of a good church, all of those dear friends that have written to us and said, Russ, what's a good church? I live in Texas. I live in Michigan. I live in Montana. I live in California. Where can I go to find a good church? Well, I'm going to give you a grid that is based on, again, Jesus' teachings and then the book of Acts for 30 years. So I'm going to give you a grid. My background, I pastored churches for 30 years. We're involved in a local church. We have run local home Bible studies. We've helped start mission churches. We have been a part of great big building churches that had multi-million dollar buildings. Really. I've been in buildings that and worshiped the Lord and been a part. And I mean, one of the buildings I know of cost $17 million. I've also been in garages, basements, I mean church, house churches. I've been in places, you know, nowadays with the emerging church concept, let's have the coolest place possible. So let's have some Starbucks coffee and couches and multicolored room and really cool lights. Not a disco ball, although maybe there are those that would like a disco ball. I mean, what do we really want in the ambiance? If the ambiance is there and it seeks to replace direct engagement with the living Christ, listen, what we don't want is all the things that would replace the simple, direct gathering of the Soma Christi, the body of Christ. Want to say hi to you tonight. This is Russ Dizdar. If you're brand new, it's May the 4th on a Wednesday night. Tonight, 6 to 7 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, we have this live radio show. So many times we're dealing with heavier, difficult issues. Now, tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have another live radio show. You can go to shatterthedarkness.net. Shatterthedarkness.net. There's where you can find the, well, if you scroll down a little bit, you'll look Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You can click right on there, Wednesday, the 4th, 8 p.m. And that'll take you there at 8 o'clock, and we have live chat, live call-in. L.A. Marzulli will be with us for about 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. We're going to engage the story of Jared out there, the Arizona shooter, and then the professor that was found sitting in the middle of the road, Channing. We're going to talk about that in the context of some of the older serial crimes and taking a new look at multiplicity in the context of that and what's coming. Now, that's tonight at 8 p.m., so we want to invite you to come. We know it's about 9 minutes after 6 right now, Eastern Standard Time. And I want you to know that as we pray over this time that we have together, and I thank you for the emails that do come in, many of you have written to ask, what can you do to help out? And I know what you're asking. So we do not have radio products and paid for commercials and those kind of things. We just simply do this if you're interested. And we simply say, go to the website, shatterthedarkness.net, click on the support where there's a little square there says support. That'll explain how we do things. And if your satellite listeners, if you want to send some help in, it is P.O. Box 755. Uniontown, Ohio, 44685. So we only want to spend about 4 or 5 seconds in any of these live shows. and almost nothing on any of the other training series that we do on the subject of support and how we do things. But that's how we do all of it, how we run the entire project, everything that we do. And we're glad to be up to 90 countries of the world downloads on a monthly level right now. It looks like in the direct downloads, maybe about 170,000. Not sure about live listeners, satellite listeners, and all the rest that goes on, but we're glad to be here to engage you. For me, it's a personal thing. For me, it is you and I. For me, it is the engagement. Wherever you're listening, you could be in Mexico, you can be in Brazil, you can be in Canada, anywhere in the United States, you can be in Moscow listening right now. Listen, the living Christ, the God that loves you, is right there. And that's what this program is all about. No matter what the subject, even though we deal with some of the dark and heavy things, you can feel that ominous in the air. We all know this. A friend of mine calls me today, and it was his mother that passed away yesterday, and I spoke at the funeral, and he's out today witnessing to a friend. Now, he hadn't seen that friend in almost maybe about 30 years. 30 years ago, he witnessed to that guy, and the guy wanted to know about the end of days. He wanted to know about the last days. So what does the guy bring up to him today? He wanted to know, and he asked the question about, are we in the last days? Well, yeah. Anybody reading 1 John chapter 2, this is how we know it is the last hour. And so there is a biblical revelation that spans the entire time now of the body of Christ, but there are things that point to, well, the coming apocalypse of the Antichrist, the great chaos that will come in the context of that, and a new regime ready and waiting. But God's restrainer, the restrainer that he's put in place, well, God will remove the restrainer and things will occur. So I want to say to you right now that in the context of that, God has unleashed, and he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Now, I will build my church. Now, there's a launching. There's the head. It's called the Soma Christi, the body of Christ, because of the indwelling of the Spirit. This is different than the Old Testament. It's not just a continuation, because now there is the fullness of the revelation of God, whereas we had a progression. We had a step-by-step. We had a schoolmaster leading us. But now Christ has come. And the cross and the work is finished. On the cross, he said it. It is finished. Right now, it is the evangelization of the world. Right now, it is the mission of God. Every ounce of heaven, every ounce of God is focused on the redemption of humankind worldwide. So I want to say to the emergent church kind of leaders out there, Rob Bell, and many others, actually, and maybe those listening that you've maybe been a part of or gone to. And again, I don't care if somebody has candles and they have couches or lawn chairs. We had a church that was a storefront that had lawn chairs. The ambiance was terrible as far as that's concerned. But people got saved. People got prayed for. We prayed for revival. We wanted to impact the area. So let's make it very clear. It's great that God enables us to have cool places and neat buildings and functional things that we can do to reach a lot of people for Christ. And the fact is, if many people are getting saved and not just transferring hundreds and hundreds of people from littler churches, transferring to a mega church, if all it is transfer, well, I have to ask the question, what good really is that? When it comes down to the mission of God, none more important to God, none more empowered by God, none more detailed in observation by God, that is all about what Christ has done, what he's commissioned, and how he is directly operative in all of it right now. So I've got 10 signs. You might want to make a CD of this. You might want to send it to somebody. So if you're saying, well, where do I go as a local church? And I'm tired of the corruption, and I'm tired of, you know, the enculturation politically and the enculturation and syncretism. And I see so many things that aren't biblical, or I see so many. Well, listen to Tuesday night's message. There's an enemy of the body of Christ. And the goal in the work of the enemy is corruption, it is compromise, it is replacement, it is counterfeit. And so there is a work spiritually on the other side of the fence to harm, to hurt, to change, to reframe, to render incapable or powerless, to really fight against the body of Christ, the real body of Christ. And then while that is going on, to offer the counterfeit spiritual systems out there, connections. You know, years ago, in a engagement of evangelism and prayer, I was at the local Theosophical Society. You know, kind of a secret society meeting, Alice Bailey, Helena Blavatsky, all the others in the background. And, you know, in this building, they got all kinds of, again, spiritual occult-oriented accoutrements. The room that they were sitting in, that I was sitting in, probably about could seat about 30, maybe 30 people packed in. And so there was cake and coffee and fellowship and, you know, there were they even passed a basket around for a donation. It was really like a little house church in a way. Though there was no direct engagement with God, there was spirituality panned out, reading of past lives and psychic readings and predictions. And the one night there was a man that was going to channel an alien. As I sat there praying, it never showed up. I wanted to engage it. I really did. But I see right there something that's vastly alternative, and I've listened to the people. Now, I've shared in a targeted way with individuals there, and we're not done with that kind of approach of evangelism, so we'll be back. But I want you to know that as the dark side, the Satan and the demonic agenda, you've got to understand the body of Christ is attacked. Now, the body of Christ needs all of its... Well, when I say members, I mean those born of the Spirit of God, those that know the living Christ, that know what it is to be under the Lordship of Christ and gather together to stand there loving one another, building up one another in the faith, using... How can you use your gifts? If you read 1 Peter chapter 4, 10 and 11, about faithful release of charismatic giftings even. Well, we're going to talk about the 10 great signs. And this is where we got to make sure that we have not let the enemy, the fallen world system around us, new and different cultural trends of reformation, changes, emergent church, transformational church, the incremental infiltration of kind of a new age counterfeit church. So the purity and the faithfulness of the life of the Soma Christu, the body of Christ, and the local churches is very important to the living Christ, who said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. And I believe Jesus. I believe that the body of Christ, indestructible, it has been fought against, persecuted, hit against, ridiculed, suppressed, and gone after. And there are definitely, like Sardis, like Laodicea, like Thyatira, there are churches just like that today that do get corrupted and compromised and whatever else. So as you're listening right now, or listening later on, whether you're in Russia, Germany, Spain, England, Canada, or United States, or even China, here's what I believe is the simple picture of the indestructible supernatural church that Jesus Christ is building, has commissioned, and is empowering, and he is coming for, by the way. That's what the harpezo, some call it in the Latin, rapture, is all about. The coming of Christ. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We who are alive will be harpezo, caught up by a superior force. And that by the Spirit of God is Christ is returning. This Wednesday night, a third part in the series, we're talking about the 10 signs. How could you tell if a local church... Now, I had a dear sister that came to Indiana conference that we were just at a few weeks back here and had some prayer, and there was some unique deliverance that occurred, and her and a friend, Steve, that were there, I just love them, and they've written to us, or she's written to us about a church that deals with oneness doctrine and, you know, obviously says no to Trinity and the concept of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, we interacted there, and they moved on somewhere else, but they had a difficulty. See, today, because of a lot of different things, we need a very good biblical, systematic biblical understanding. Not a verse here and a verse there and a verse there and a verse there, but a good deep understanding. But I'm going to tell you then, and again, I have pastored 4 separate churches in 30 years. We've seen massive successes and great things. We've also seen some very incredibly difficult things and defeats and harm that has occurred. But let me tell you one thing. It is up to every one of us individually, under the Lordship of Christ, to make sure, well, that our lives are not backslidden, hypocritical, a bad witness to the world. You know why? You and I, we are the church. And as God's called us together, and by the way, at the moment of salvation, you're baptized with the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Check it out. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so we're part of the body of Christ. And the truth is, this is where I stand. I love believers. It's not my job to sit back and say, well, I love this one and I don't love that one. I pick and choose to fellowship with these guys, but not these guys. If we're going to be under the Lordship of Jesus, if we're going to live out the love that God has given to us in Christ, then that love is broad and big and strong and able to bear and tolerate, and love looks so, you know, deals with a multitude of sins. Love is restorative. I mean, if we're driven by the love that is explained in 1 Corinthians 13, by the way, it holds no record of wrongs, and, well, you can read about it there. And so there is this compelling. Jesus said, and it's a command. He gives it as a command in John's Gospel, chapter 13, that we are to love one another as he's loved us, so that the world will know that you are my disciples by the way you love one another. So one of the great evidences is, listen, one of the great evidences is not that your doctrine is sizzling hot and perfectly in order, though that's important. Not that your building's the coolest or the most stained glass window in all of history. And whatever importance that plays, it doesn't play a big importance in the sight of God because there's no instruction on it. God gave no instructions on, hey, what's your building supposed to look like? How many windows? How many non-windows? How many candles? How many? What color the carpet? Piano or drums? You know, all those things come into play. So when it comes down to the methods are many. The principles, the Word of God, Christ. There is a immovable truth that is applicable to all the days. I mean, after all, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and for all the days, forever. So it doesn't make any difference where I've been. I've learned to be adaptive. I've learned, as Paul talks about in Corinthians, you know, I become all things to all men that I might win the most. Now, that's without compromise, of course. So whether it's out there witnessing at a biker bar and sharing there, or on the university campus to engineering students, philosophy students, or whether that's on the streets, or whether that's in the building, or whether that's on a sports night or a concert night, or you know what? Just simply loving individuals with the love of God in Christ helps me to just simply relate with them and bring them the message. And seeing a body, a local body that's bent on that kind of love, the love of Christ, well, that's a very inviting place. Well, I don't want to wait any longer. I just want you to remember, though, the conferences, Future Congress coming up in July, and two others that we'll post as soon as I nail them down. Again, apologies, we're behind because we are pushed here locally, but we will do what we can to continue to catch up. Now, in the rest of this week, there is Thursday night, God's Zero Toleration for the Counterfeit within the Body of Christ. And then Friday night is, what does it mean to really see a blazing, powerful church with the possibilities of a great, massive impact to the community, to the state, even to the nation? I don't believe, for one, that mass revival and God's power and what God does is over. I don't care how close we get. Until we are out of here, everything I read, Jesus says, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Well, until I'm out of here, I'm going to trust him for the absolute fullness of his power, grace, might, and snatch a few from the fire even in the very last couple of days. So we hope that we are committed in that sense. I love the book of Acts. We will have, and I've already posted it, Friday. There'll be more updates on the training course, Acts, the field manual for the end of days. And that's a lot of what this is about this week. And sometimes I wonder if we just really look back and seen the life of Christ, the instruction of Christ, and how it was implemented, with the principles being the same, but the methodology in culture and places and buildings and meeting locations and all of that, well, being open and being sensitive and making sure that my freedom in Christ, Romans 14, is not somebody else's stumbling block. I care about that. So, 10 signs, good signs, what the body of Christ is all about. Let's go over them. Let's begin number one. Number one, out of everything else, whether you're, again, I'm saying whether you go to this a massive building that sits, listen, there's a building in Seoul, Korea that seats, I believe now seats, I think it's 50,000 seat sanctuary. One in Nigeria, I believe, is supposed to seat up to 1 million in one setting. Or there's the house church down the street that sits about 40 individuals packed in. Or wherever. That's not the issue that we're talking about here now. We're talking about the gathering of the believers, the Soma Christi, the body of Christ, the church. Now, number one, the living, active presence of Christ. How could it be otherwise? Regardless of the building, regardless of the size of the church, regardless of the culture, regardless of style of music, style of building, style of hair, style of clothing, and all that kind of stuff, when we gather together as the people of God, number one, the living Christ. He's active. This is clear in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 20, when the disciples went out everywhere. They're evangelizing, and the Lord worked with them. I mean, this is the Christ that died, rose from the dead, ascended, and now has come in and brought the presence of the power of the Spirit of God. But he would be operative. Read the seven churches of Revelation. You're going to find Jesus is walking amidst the churches. I mean, listen, when we gather on a Sunday or gather when we gather, and there should be a acknowledgement, the central issue is gathering in the living presence of Christ. Do I experience God? Do I experience the living Christ? Is he operative there that day? When two or three gather in my name, there I will be. In the midst. In the midst. That's vital. That's the vital issue in all of this. The fact that that Jesus is there. And that's what I love about it. I mean, even the last church that I pastored and all the struggles and things that went on. And prior to that, a big ministry with massive explosive growth and hundreds of salvations and all kinds of things that have gone on. one thing that was always great was what I've always done. The number one thing, even as we begin the service, the acknowledgement of the living Christ, the acknowledgement of his presence, the welcoming, and direct engagement. I mean, as a believer, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When we gather together, Christ alive in the midst, God in the midst. After all, the body of Christ is the naos, the temple of God. God dwells. We are the temple. We read about it in 1 Corinthians 3 or 1 Corinthians 6 or in the book of Ephesians. You can read the body of Christ. It is the naos. Now that goes to the Old Testament Greek Septuagint in reference to the Holy of Holies. It is all about the living presence of God. We should never be able to go to church, gather with the church. We should never be able to go through an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever the length of time, walk away and have not 1 ounce of direct, felt, experienced interaction with Jesus Christ, with God. So let me say in the first is the living, active Christ operative in the midst of the local church. Present, engaging in worship, in prayer, in evangelism, in the word, in giftings, in being operative in the midst. Are we able to walk away when it's done to say, wow, it was awesome to be in the presence of God. It was awesome to be there interacting, knowing that you, that, and again, that's simply what the gathering should be all about. And when I say gathering, the gathering of the body of Christ, that we're not to neglect that assembling together. So number one, the living Christ, God directly in the local body operative. Number two, the gathering of believers. Now, let me say this very clearly. The focus is in this gathering, when two or three gather in my name, the concept, as you look in the book of Acts, believers are gathering, not the unbelievers. That's not to say that we don't want to have visitors and we don't open our whole services for that purpose, but don't water down the entire church for a couple of visitors when the believers need to gather in the presence of God and experience the presence and power of the Spirit, the Word, prayer, relational fellowship, testimony, spiritual gifts, spiritual warfare, bearing fruit. I mean, that's about being built up in Christ. So the local body, as we gather, let's make sure that we don't enculturate and turn the body of Christ into a dry, empty, kind of like an elevator spectator where just everybody watches a few perform, because there might be two or three visitors there. What I've experienced in 30 years of pastoring is visitors coming to a boring church that have been set up so as not to rattle their cage or to in some way be offensive, as we've been told. Listen, that's why they don't show up. That's why I never went. My concept of church before ever coming to Christ, boring, why would I even want to go? And let me tell you something, where we have been to see the church where the living, active presence of Christ, where the gathering of real believers for the worship of Jesus, to give him praise, to give him honor, to give him, to engage. That's what worship is. So we're saying number two, the gathering of believers for worship. And that's what it should be. Without question, number one, that we're the temple of God, God's presence manifest and him operative, acknowledged, and yes, felt, known in our midst. Number two, the gathering of believers for worship. We're there to bring praise. We're there to focus on. We're there to corporately embrace God. We are there to literally take the hymns and the songs, spiritual songs and the psalms, and to unleash them. Look what it says in Ephesians 5. And that's all in the presence of, in context of being filled with the Spirit of God, with gratitude in our hearts. And so we can unleash psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And again, the methodology of what instrument to use. Listen, I've done it where we have no instruments. Where the leading of the songs wasn't that great, but that's never been the issue. We go to a place where there's a mixture of contemporary spiritual songs, praise songs, with hymns. And the style sometimes shifts a little bit in the emphasis. But listen, whether I was in an old country church with 14, 15 people in Jellico, Tennessee, and they were singing Send the Light, the Blessed Gospel Light, I remember that. In the presence of God, 14, 15 believers gathered. I was only 19, taken down there as a student at Cumberland College. They drove me down into Jellico, Tennessee to preach. And I preached on the sheep and the goat. There in the Gospel of Matthew. And I kept asking the people as a brand new little 19-year-old preacher, are you sheeps or are you goats? And the guys that took me down there just laughed at me all the way back to the college dormitories. I didn't know. All I knew is open the Bible and preach what I've learned. Even if sometimes I called the Psalms the Book of Palms. And to this very day, you know that I don't spell everything correctly, and I don't do everything so polished. But what's that matter? In the presence, the immediate, unceasing, unbroken, awesome, awe-striking, incredible presence of God. It's His church. It's His temple. And the Spirit of God, we're the temple. We're the temple. And so the gathering is primarily for worship and to unleash in direct relationship. You ever say to yourself while you're unleashing worship, all hail the power of Jesus' name, or I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, or whatever hymn that it might be, or whatever special song that you know that is just inspired by the Spirit of God in you, embrace God. To me, you know what it is? It's raising my arms and literally hugging God. That's what worship is to me. I close my eyes and I'm there. I don't have to wait for five songs to go by. It's immediate. You see, His presence, He never leaves you, never forsakes you. And I've learned over the years of His unceasing, His unbroken, His forever, always awesome living presence. Acknowledgement of that brings you to the experience of the Word of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I will be with you always to the very end of the age. When two or three gather in my name, there am I in the midst. So what do? Well, let's just bow and acknowledge Him. Let's surrender to His lordship, to His authority, His sovereignty, His compassion, His love, and what He has for us. Oh, He'll walk among us. He'll work among us. I mean, except for like something like Laodicea, they didn't even know He's on the outside of the building. Outside. Knocking, though, asking, hey, anybody want fellowship with me? They were so self-proficient. They were so full of religion, they had no room for Christ. And they didn't even know it. Their self-evaluation was 10 points on their own list. But it wasn't God's list. Jesus said to the church of Laodicea that you're poor, that you're naked, blind, pitiful. That could be possible of a local fellowship. And real believers, strong believers, I know, you don't want to be a part of that. You don't want to be a part where there's really clear, crazy doctrine, false prophecies, and all kinds of junk. You don't want to be a part of that. I know that. But we're talking about 10 things that should be there in the local body. And let's be factual. There are local bodies that are strong. There are local bodies that are weak. There are local bodies that are literally on fire, producing great fruit. People get saved, healed, delivered, on and on and on. And there are bodies where nobody's gotten saved in a year. Baptismal waters haven't been used. And like Sardis, they were once alive, but they become dead. The good news is, both with Laodicea and Sardis, Jesus was offering them a way back to his fullness and to all that he wants the local bodies to be. So number two, the gathering of believers for worship, direct, observable. I mean, literally, a visitor should be able to come in and say, wow, these people are engaged with God. Wow, these people really know how to love their God. Wow, these people really know what it is. They are actually meeting with God. They should be able to say, man, this happened. Visitor in the church, and the church, we just do church as we do church as a believer. So we're there in the living, active presence of God as the temple. We're there gathered as believers to embark on relational worship, praise, and thanksgiving. And it was powerful. God seemed to be all over us, all over the place. And I turned and I looked and I saw a visitor crying their eyes out. I asked them at the end, are you all right? They're not even saved. And they said, yeah. But I can tell God was here. That's what it's all about. And that's how so many people are opened up to God, because of the beauty and the power and the reality. God is real. Even right now, you feel it. You know it. God, you can stop and begin to praise and give worship and feel him all over your life right now. He's not left you. Never, 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 never. Five times in the Greek there in Hebrews chapter 13. Third thing, Holy Spirit. How could we not talk about the Spirit of God? Let me tell you right now, I count on the fact the Spirit of God in this kind of teaching, evangelistic engagement. It's kind of a sermon in a talk show format is really what it is. But how God has taken it, and the Spirit of God has spoken to hearts in 90-some countries. Some have downloaded it, Satanists have downloaded it, and have been stricken by the power of God. Their demons made them shut it off. Others have gotten saved. Others have gotten revived. Backsliders have repented. Maybe some right now. Not because of me, but because of Christ and the Spirit of God that convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Because the Spirit of God that doesn't want to be grieved or quenched. The fire of the Spirit of the Lord. So Pentecost is big. Acts chapter 4 is big. They're all filled with the Spirit of God. Stephen, filled with the Spirit of God. Paul, filled with the Spirit of God. Barnabas, full of the Spirit of God, a good man. Choose individuals filled with the Spirit of God. We're born of the Spirit of God. We become individually temples of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is to be upon us to make us witnesses. The Spirit of God is to teach and to guide and to lead. We worship by the empowerment of the Spirit of God. So, in this temple of God, in this gathering of believers for worship, number three then, we have empowerment. It's what Jesus was talking about in John's Gospel chapter 4. That the Father is looking for worshipers that will worship in spirit and in truth. In direct, you understand how direct? I remember years and years ago, I'm in the church praying, getting ready for Sunday. I was a local single pastor of a mission church, not too far from the school. We had started off with about 7 people the first time, 13 the next week. It kept growing. It was cool. It was great. People got saved. But I can remember one time in that place where I was praying, raising my voice in prayer, and God spoke back to my heart. Literally, clearly, you know how it is when God speaks to you. God says, who are you speaking to? And instantly when I said, you, Father, I realized I was shouting as if God was out there in the universe and not intimately, inward, on and with and right there. And it is the Spirit of God that made known this Abba Father, this direct, inseparable relationship. Christ in you, actually. The Spirit of God in you and on you, teacher and guide and convictor and sanctifier, empowerer. I mean, the Spirit of God from the inside out opens our eyes to the Word of God. We read in Ephesians that Paul prays for a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we might know Jesus. Epigenosis, fuller, I mean, to the absolute experiential fullness of knowing Christ. The Spirit of God. Oh, let's not neglect the Spirit of God. Let's acknowledge Him in our gathering, whether it's four guys in a car like we do on Friday nights to go out. As we begin to prepare and then go into worship and then go into, you know, and then we go into intercession and then we go into warfare prayer and then we go out evangelizing and then we go out to do what we got to do. Listen, whether it's four guys in the car, God being all over us, guiding us, we acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Or whether it's 1,000 or 10,000 gathering, who's ever helping to lead, please acknowledge God, the Holy Spirit. Please let everybody know, listen to the Spirit of God, hear the Spirit of God. He empowers us, sanctifies us, guides us, inspires preaching, unleashes giftings, works in lives. I love Luke's Gospel chapter 5. The power, the dunamis, the power of the Lord was present to heal. You shall receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Dunamis, that felt, expressed, effectual power of the Spirit of the Lord. Number three, you got to have the Word of God, obviously. You can't believe on whom you've not heard. You know, faith comes from hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Now, we got this amazing book. Jesus called it Living Words, words that have come from God. And all over the world, whether in China, whether in Russia, whether in Germany, wherever you are, listen, the Word of God is so, listen, I can say it's infallible, it's inerrant, it is supernatural. All I can tell you is that God is in it. God is operative through the Word of God. You can be born again by it. You can grow by it. You can quote it. You can speak it against the devil's lies and win and find victory. You can appropriate it in your life and grow and see your spiritual life enhanced. You can let the Spirit of God use the Word of God in your life, convict you, engage you, stop you. Yes. You can hide the Word of God in your heart so that you won't sin against God. I love what it says in 1 John 2 that writing to the younger believers, because they're strong. Why are they strong? Because, and why did they overcome the evil one? Victory over the evil one. Well, because the Word of God lived in them. They believed it, received it, put it into practice, period. So in the local body, point four, you got to have the unveiling, the supremacy of the Word of God over everything. It is the ultimate grid. We are to let the Word of Christ, Colossians 3, dwell in us richly as we can teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. It's the language of the Spirit. It's the sword of the Spirit. You should pack yourself with the revelation of God. Be absolutely astounded by it, blessed by it, encouraged by it, protected by it, guarded by it. Become wise and knowledgeable with it. You ever read Psalm 119? Challenge you to do it today, Psalm 119. Look what the Word of God can do. Light for your eyes, bring revival. Oh my goodness, how vast. The Logos of God. Powerful, active, living. All I know is when I open it, God is in it, God is with it. The only book whose author is always present. Number five, prayer. Man, it's the house of prayer. Zeal for the house of God consumed Christ. Is it not the house of prayer? Is it not the place to pour out prayer? Look at Acts chapter 4, how they gathered together. There they are together. All the body of Christ, they're gathering. They raised their voices together to God in prayer. They raised their voices together to God in prayer. They raised their voices together to God in prayer. Now that's absolutely amazing. And they poured out a prayer led by the Spirit of God, quoting scripture in the midst of it. And what did God do? Sent power. They're all filled with the Spirit of God again. Such power of God that it shook the physical building. Would to God that would happen all over the place. Would to God that would occur in your life right now. The place of prayer. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open for you. I mean, the promises, the depth. Colossians 4:2, be devoted to prayer. So every day we got to be in prayer. Listen, what are you going to do? You're going to take advantage in this area? Don't let your, at this moment in your life, non-answers or the things that you didn't get answers, don't let that become the theology of your prayer. You go back to the Word of God. You go back to where it says you're to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray until the answer comes. You go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Listen, it's impossible to please God without faith. Those who come to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a what? Rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. I've experienced that to be absolutely true. You know, when you go to prayer, you can be aggressive. You can be passionate. You can go. God said to come boldly. Greek word there, to come with freedom of access. There is nothing to inhibit you. Just come before the throne of what? Grace. The throne of grace. Come before the throne of grace that you might receive. That's how clear it is. That's how God put it. So come in prayer. Let the church, listen, I've noticed this in a lot of churches lately. And I did this over probably a 6-7 month period when we were looking at churches all over the place. I noticed the good worship songs and fellowship and good sermons, good words of God given. But in all these elements, I noticed it for some reason in American churches here, the ones that we were visiting around, and we thought they were good, you know, but in some places, the total collective prayer of those who prayed up front and prayed at the end of the service, 18 seconds. The average was about 58 seconds. Shame. I mean, just unbelievable. Do we not believe in the power of prayer? Do we not believe that God has called us to prayer? Do we not believe that we need to pray for the souls of men? Look at Timothy chapter 2. Verses 1 on down. When the Spirit of God commands that with first priority and with urgency, prayers, all kinds of them, general, specific, intercession, given for all mankind, given for all the kings and leaders, and that this is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wills all mankind, all humankind, to be saved. Massive prayer, spiritual leaders, massive prayer, pastors. We need to lead. And this is the problem of enculturation, of spectatorship, that you've watered down. That's why a lot of congregations, okay, let's go into prayer. They don't know how. Let's see if we can have 5 minutes of direct prayer, all everybody joining in prayer. Can they? I know one place where they have led in this way, they can sustain in a kind of a prayer concert 20-30 minutes in the service, praying for the city, praying for the nation, praying for one another, praying for every lost soul, praying for the government, praying against the dark powers, using authority to pray against Satan's encroachment, praying for the church, praying for the leaders, praying for everything, saturating the people in prayer in front of you, praying for them, praying for those behind you, praying for those on the right and the left of you. By the time you're done, you've been prayed for 3 or 4 times, let alone a massive unleashing of prayer. That's ICX chapter 4. That's the potential. Number 6, relational fellowship. Well, we go, we gather, we're there to love and to care and to share and to minister and to be there and to enjoy one another and learn and be there. That's what loving and building one another up is all about. When you go to gather and there you're going to meet the living God and be the temple that we're supposed to be, there you're going to gather with believers to worship. Number 2, the Holy Spirit being there to guide and lead, no greater power than Him. And then the Word of God unleashed faithfully, pastors and leaders and teachers. And then massive prayer, and then relational, love-filled, building up, caring fellowship. And then 7, that's number 6, by the way, relational fellowship. And then number 7, testimony. I love to hear people give testimonies of answered prayer, of God working in their life, God speaking to them, giftings, but of leading somebody to Christ or somebody getting saved or something that God has done in a big way. You know, in a church like Acts 15, when there's a lot of testimony of God's work, grace, mercy, activity, wow, that really inspires everybody. So that happened in the early church. A lot of testimonies about the living Christ, of God's working, and how, look at Acts chapter 8, how Philip could have said to everybody, hey, and then the Holy Spirit told me to go over there and stand by that guy. And then I led the eunuch to Christ. And then after I did that, I was just simply taken down to another city altogether. And there I began to preach the gospel. And Jesus was the same in that city as he was in that city, as he was over that city. He's the same everywhere, because methods could be many and methods can always change and all that. But principles, Jesus, the Word of God, never does. He's faithful in wherever he is embraced and believed, and then obedience is unleashed. Number 8, spiritual gifts. I believe there's at least 19. All of them unleashing aspects. Charismatic gifts of discernment. Charismatic gifts, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Healing gifts. Miraculous powers, leadership, serving, administration, all across the board, languages, the interpretation, all of these giftings. It's true they can be misused in the flesh. It's true they can be counterfeited by the enemy. But it's also awesomely true they can be used beautifully, powerfully by the Spirit of God in mature, Spirit-filled, seasoned believers. And in the body of Christ, You read it. 1 Peter chapter 4. We're to be faithful, using them, unleashing God's grace in this manifold or many-sided variety of his grace. We need all these giftings, supernatural operative giftings of the Holy Spirit. Number 9, spiritual warfare is a part of the body of Christ. The reason God gave us authority in Christ, to literally trample the dark side. Why can't the prayers be lifted up, pastors, where in our cities and so forth, we simply are led for a little while to pray against the dark side and anything demonic coming in, and for exposure of that, and use the authority that we've been given to trample the dark side. And number 10, it's about bearing fruit. In that local church, people should get saved. People can get healed. People can get delivered from demonic presence. God's love can strengthen. The Word of God can build and sanctify and deal with individuals. There should be ministry that goes on to individuals, people that help one another. Bearing fruit. All of us can bear fruit. Don't go as a spectator. Go to unleash, minister. Go in to the local body and go there to embrace God, worship God, experience the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, prayer, fellowship, testimony. Use your gifts, unleash warfare, and bear fruit. Man, we are done already. I've got the music in my ears here. Well, listen, we are going to tell you that these 10, just read the book of Acts, read through it. We love you tonight. May God's grace and power and might be with you. See you on Thursday night. Hey, alive tonight, 8 o'clock, The Ragged Edge. This is Russ Dizdar, ShadowTheDarkness.net. Good night.